Is Washington too much of a company town? Should the federal workforce, should federal agencies really be scattered around the country? Would this all really help in when all's said and done? The Washington Post's Alex McGillis thinks so. He wrote a piece about it over the weekend, The Case for Breaking Up Washington. Tom Shoup is the editor-in-chief of Government Executive. And, Tom, you're not so convinced, are you?
Well, it's not so much that I'm unconvinced as it's just one of those things that seems to come up every few years, and the case never seems, I guess, all that entirely strong to me. So, put me in the category of not being
convinced. Yeah, you said, well, not completely convinced, and then you sort of said, I'm not really convinced.
I talked myself into it.
Yeah. And you weren't quite, you sounded not very convinced in your blog post on this subject, but, so his case essentially is, that there's, he even argues that there's way too much, it's too much here. The local, it creates this us versus them kind of mentality, and in fact even Politico did a poll looking at the differences between what folks inside the Beltway and essentially outside the Beltway think, and really a divergent, because, let's be honest, the last couple of years, we've done okay in this area, and his argument that if this wealth was spread around the country, then it's good for the country overall. Did I essentially capture his?
I think that's probably about it. There's a couple caveats in there though that always seem to come up. First off, McGillis acknowledges in the Post that the government is not exactly as concentrated as people tend to think it is in Washington. 83% of the government is actually outside the Washington area. And then he further calculates, takes out defense and veterans affairs employees at their various facilities around the country and says, well, if you take those out, then there's more concentration in Washington. Well, that's true, but it's only 25%. Then you still have 75% of the government being outside Washington, which doesn't strike me as being an outrageous imbalance. And as I also noted in mine, I think it's a little curious to take defense and VA out of the calculation, apparently purely on the grounds that they have a lot of employees who aren't in Washington.
Right. Any agency that doesn't have a lot of employees, that doesn't count.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, as I wrote, it's sort of like saying, if you look at Walmart and take out all the people who actually work at Walmart, well, they'd be very heavily concentrated in Bentonville, Arkansas. Well, yeah, that's where their headquarters are, but it doesn't tell you that much about the situation.
So Mr. McGillis did an online chat on the Washington Post website, I guess on Monday, about this idea. And I was reading through some of the comments on Monday, later on in the day. And one person wrote in, a splendid idea. There's simply too much communication and close coordination between the various bureaus and branches in the U.S. government. Clearly, this person has their tongue stuck firmly in their cheek. The government is way too efficient. What we need is a Justice Department based in Cleveland and FBI headquarters in San Diego. The House should be in Mobile, Alabama, and the Senate should be in St. Paul, Minnesota. Forget the subway running under Capitol Hill. We need a bullet train. This is a brilliant idea. The comment I just loved. His response was subtle sarcasm, but I get your point. If the government is already so siloed and compartmentalized now, why make the problem even worse by scattering it? It's a good point. In fact, the Obama administration trying hard to get a blah, 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 blah. Essentially, he says, if it's already broken, we can't really be worse with, can we? And my concern is, yeah, we can. I think the idea is just foolish, to be honest with you. And I think it can be much worse.
Yeah, I tend to think there's a possibility that could be true, too. And people, this does tend to come up when there's sort of an anti-government feeling or sort of a jealousy about, what's going on in Washington. So I think that tends to drive it. And then there tends to be this whole let's get government closer to the people thing. I'm not entirely sure people would be in favor
right.
of that if it actually happened. Because, I mean, think of these agencies would then become entirely captive of their localities. You know, think how important, if you move the Department of Agriculture to Des Moines, think how important that would be to the economy of Des Moines. I mean, you know, if you think pork barrel spending is a problem now, imagine what it would be like if those people had huge agency headquarters in their districts.
Well, and there are enormous, I mean, there are several cities around the country where there's enormous federal populations, Kansas City, New Orleans, San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego doesn't count because there's a lot of DOD folks. But I mean, you know, come on. There's a lot of feds around the country. 80% of feds are not here.
Sure. So Denver has huge.
Denver. I mean, there's Boston. I mean, a lot of cities have very significant federal populations.
Right. And it's one of the things I noted was that if you want government to be more and more outside Washington, you're gradually getting what you wish for already. We have coming up in our August issue, a big story on Huntsville, Alabama, and the huge concentration of federal activities that are now moving to Huntsville, and it's becoming a real federal hub there. So this sort of thing is really already going on.
You do bring up a couple of points. One is the Washington area transportation system. We have a transportation system that already can't accommodate the folks who are here. And if more folks move here, then, you know, that there's situations like that that you have to deal with.
Right. I can certainly see someone making the case that we don't need any more government in this area than we've already got, because we don't need any more anything than we've already got, it seems like, given the problems with the transportation system.
But it seems to me that the idea that we need more coordination, we need more communication, and yes, there are all sorts of technologies that can do that, but essentially you need your C-suite amongst these organizations all together so they can actually talk about these things. And increasingly, it's not just HHS problem, it's HHS plus, I mean, look at the oil spill. How many different agencies are involved? And if they can't get together in some kind of form or fashion, it seems to me like it makes it really, really difficult.
Yeah. And, I mean, talking about the oil spill, you know, the Minerals Management Service, they're not, you know, they have substantial presence outside Washington, and it may be one reason why they're very, very close to the industry people they're supposed to be regulating.
Yeah, it's a very challenging issue, but, I mean, that just seems like somebody grabbing at easy, trying to find easy fixes, and there aren't easy fixes to these things. There's, you know, they're long-time challenges. They've been around for a long time, and guess what? You have to work at it.
Seems that way with a lot of things, doesn't it?
I wanted to quickly bring up, because I was down at this Center for American Progress event this morning where they released this poll calling, saying better, not smaller, what Americans want for their federal government. And overall, fairly bleak picture of what folks think of America, of the federal government, their lowest confidence numbers almost ever, dating back even before the 80s. So kind of depressing there. One of the interesting things is that it showed that people generally what they want is a government that works. And this whole size, big, small government is really a sideshow. What they want is they're frustrated that they feel like the government that they have doesn't work very well.
Yeah, I think that tends to have been the refrain in recent years. And I think one of the unfortunate things is that for a lot of people, the corollary of that tends to be, I want my government to do whatever I want it to do whenever I want it to do it. So it becomes very difficult to meet the standard, I think, that some people are setting out for what they expect.
Well, and it always strikes me that there's a lot of hindsight that goes on. Like we don't want the federal government to overregulate oil vessels or oil, you know, the oil, the drilling rigs, until something happens, and then we want to say, why weren't they watching this stuff? And it seems like a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation.
Right. I mean, people want the government to be prepared on a moment's notice to deal with any conceivable kind of natural disaster, but I don't think they really are that comfortable with spending the kind of money it would take to have that capacity.
One of these other things, and this goes back to my open letter to the Office of Management and Budget, but one of their recommendations was require federal agencies to set clear goals measured by real world results. I don't know why that's so hard for me to say, but I mean, we've been covering this, and I know, here's my mention, we've been doing this for a while now, and I mean, I remember back in the Clinton years, the budget specifically mentioned you were going to hire 500,000 new police officers on the streets. It seems like this has been going on for a while. This is not new. We know, once again, we know what we have to do. It's just doing it is hard.
Yeah, it really is. The actual implementation, that's always the tough part.
Yeah, it's just, I always find a little, there aren't easy answers because they're complex problems and because they're not easy to solve.
Right, and because the government is so big, too, that it's very hard. People tend to think of it as the government when it's less an entity than a sector of the economy.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to judge the entire government on the basis of
And one of the people brought up that point precisely, and they said, you know, what we should focus on are making things smaller. Don't have these big programs. Instead, focus on small things that you can do in 6 to 9 months, maybe a year. And really force folks to focus on those very manageable chunks.
Yeah.
And again, Raines rules. That's what Raines rules said, you know,
right,
20 years ago, and yet very, very hard to do.
Yeah, for reasons that are never entirely clear to me. I mean, like you've been saying, that we've known for a couple decades now that, like in financial management systems, smaller is probably better.
Yeah.
Why are we still doing big ones then? Is something of a mystery to me.
I think we get into it and all of a sudden you go, I don't want to go through this again. So we throw everything but the kitchen sink in there. Well, sometimes we throw the kitchen sink in there too. Tom Shoup, he's the editor in chief of government executive and governmentexecutive.com. Of course, you can find his Fed blog on Government Executive's website. It's what I read every single morning. So you should too. You can find much more information about this. We have a link to his post about the Washington Post piece, and we have a link to the Post piece as well, so you can read it for yourself. You can find it all online, federalnewsradio.com/Dora Beck Insider, or just go to DoraBeckInsider.com. Thanks, as always, Tom.
Sure, great talking to you.
Talk to you soon.